Now, the town residents would stop paying the EMS levy through the hospital, right?
The issue of annexation is the fire district.
Fire district.
So you have to look at the fire district levy amount that they would now be paying as property tax instead of coming out of the general fund and whatever that is, which is a bigger number. Right?
Yeah.
And they would continue the EMS.
And they would continue paying an EMS levy because they'd be paying whatever the fire district collects as an EMS levy, whether they do it with a lid lift to add 50 cents or whether they have a separate EMS levy and do 50 cent EMS levy. They have the fire district now also.
I thought you were talking about just increasing the fire levy and then providing EMS services through that levy, not as an EMS levy, but.
No.
But there's still no levy in town. There's no fire district levy in town.
We're talking about the annexation by the fire district of the town, which means they would start paying the fire district levy. And that's a big number, especially when you add 50 cents to it for EMS. So
yep.
There's that.
Right.
A big-ish number. I mean, I don't know how big it is. Do you know what the fire district current levy rate is?
I do, actually, and I found the current EMS. Fire is 51 cents.
Fire 3 is just 51 cents?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's smaller than I thought.
Down from 56 cents, I think.
You know, I don't know. Statutorily, it's a big number, but it's not nearly 59, as much as I thought.
It was 59 in 2015.
Okay.
And in 2017, in fact.
Okay.
So EMS is 43.54.
Yeah. So it's 10 cents. Something more. Not more. But I mean, basically, both of those, one of those they currently pay in town, the 43 cent or whatever it is now for EMS. So they should swallow pretty easily an EMS levy from fire instead.
Yeah.
But the fire district levy, they don't pay. So if they said, okay, now you're going to hit me with a 51 cent or whatever it is fire levy, if I don't get a 50 cent reduction on my town property tax, I'm paying more. And so Duncan wants to sell that difference as addition goes to roads or whatever it is.
So Mark had raised this question at the last meeting, and it's on the list, was, you know, many fire districts in the state do run separate EMS levies, even though there's plenty of slack in their own levy. Do you know why that is?
Yes, because of that, which cap is hitting it. So as they're limited to 1% more than what they took last year, and as assessed values are going up, that rate is dropping, and it's dropping away from that limit.
Right.
So if assessed values went down, then the rate would go up, and it would tend to go back up to that cap, and there would be much less of that gap.
Well, especially if they're doing it as a 6-year or a 10-year, whatever, yeah, levy, because then they go back to the full statutory rate every time they pass a continuation levy.
Yep.
So it's, which the fire district as a permanent levy isn't ever, until you do a lid lift, going to get back to the cap, which I understand, sort of, why they do that. One thing I read, though, which was interesting to me, is that even a permanent EMS levy is subject to referendum. That is, people can decide.
And to shut it down.
Yeah, they can take they can petition to vote against the EMS levy, even if it's permanent.
Yeah, because it's
and
not.
And you voted on by the people.
Yep. Even if it's been passed as a 6 or 10 year whatever it is levy, it's a permanent levy. They pass it, and it's still subject to referendum. I read, which I thought was pretty unusual. I think it's in an RCW. I'll have to look it up again. Probably in the EMS levy or RCW. Well, yeah, I wasn't aware of that until I read it either, and I got to go find out if that's ever been repealed or something, because maybe that was old news or whatever.
I think it's RCW that a lot of the people in the district have researched this because of the silence. Fire can never do those islands. They just mechanically can't do it.
Well, yeah.
And
I mean, it'd be impractical.
That's a poor job.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So they pay a lot of tax for no service.
Correct.
Basically, they are allowed to, on petition, if they're going to
opt out,
to opt out.
Really?
How about that?
That I just read that.
Well, that similarly is unusual, to say the least.
But they can say, we don't want to be part. And if I was them, I would.
Yeah.
I'd get the petition going.
Because
they could put the money in med plan. It's viable, it's not cheaper. But that's the other issue, on the other hand, is what do you do with the islands?
Well,
my question is, can you do it from this side? Can you kick them out as opposed to them walk up?
Well, we
can. I don't know. When I read the law, I didn't see that.
I think we can if by, and you,
and I don't mean,
we haven't got to the point of how do you abandon an ongoing current EMS levy, as we presumably would do if we do all of this before 2022, or whatever you said it expired. Mm-hmm. So what's the process by which the hospital district just says, never mind, we're not going to do EMS anymore, they're going to pay?
The easy way is for them to send us a certificate that says we want $0, because then there's a documented request for nothing.
Okay.
And then.
But does that still constitute an EMS levy?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
That'd be a legal question.
Because that's a legal question, really. But
so that, yeah, it is a legal question for sure.
Although it's a moot legal question if the fire district doesn't
do an EMS levy.
Doesn't try to pass an EMS levy, but just does a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I guess that would be the simplest, again, looking for simplicity. The easiest thing to do is to just say we want $0 in the fire district for the next couple years.
This is one of the questions, is I believe that levy is promised to the bond,
yes,
which is right, paying for the building.
Right. The loan on the building would be called immediately.
Abandon it without having immediately paying for the building.
Right, right. That calls the loan on the building for sure. And we're aware of that.
That bond is down to 1.1 or 2 or something like that. They
just paid some 800 on it, so yeah, it's getting close to 1.1.
But that's still over $1 million in scare up somewhere.
I think it's 826,000 now, isn't it?
Okay.
Is it divided in half? It's less than half. Sorry.
Well, whatever it is, it's probably more than the hospital district has in their back pocket, would be my guess. So they're going to have to do another loan.
EMS has $1.2 million in reserves right now, though. So they could, in theory, just pay it off.
Well, that's not going to leave a lot of reserves,
no.
Okay, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hospital district question that the commission has to decide, I guess, what to do if they buy into the whole let's transfer
and
give up the EMS levy.
It is something being talked about, though, whether they should just pay off the bond all the
right
way.
That would be the question.
Yeah.
When's it due?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
It has to be refinanced.
It's
right.
It's a few years, but it's not a lot of years. I thought it was like three or four.
Well, that's right. There's a balloon payment anyway that has to pay it off in 3 years or something like that anyway. We just may accelerate that if all this happens in the next 12 months, because then you'd have it called as soon as you said, 2020, we're not going to take any EMS levy. We're going to let the fire district have it. At that point, you're going to owe the money. So that's an issue, for sure, for the hospital.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kinds of issues. that's a big one, because that's probably the biggest single chunk.
CID.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are other issues too, yeah.
The Association of Public Hospital Districts Legal Manual.
Yes.
That's the we can walk stuff in. That's where I got that information.
Oh, that you were just talking about. Yeah, thanks.
They have a legal manual.
Right, right. I know the manual. I have a copy of it on my computer.
Like two-thirds of the way through.
Okay,
yes.
It's in there someplace.
Thanks for that reference. I will look for it now.
I actually think you sent us that link.
I sent you a link to the manual, but I don't
know
whether...
Yeah, I don't know if they'll know.
I certainly didn't read as far as Warren got.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least I don't remember seeing that.
Well, it's nice, it's black headlights, so you can flip through.
Oh, good.
But it's also, I think, in the index. I'll look on
it. Okay. Anyway, back to the questions that we're supposed to be addressing. We're kind of doing this in a haphazard fashion. I was wondering if maybe we shouldn't go through some of the things that we actually asked and wanted answers to.
Or were there things in the work that you prepared that jumped out at you that you really thought that we...
Why don't you start there?
And I only make copies for the committee.
Make some copies.
And so, as I said, we've got the information here about who the dates are, historic turnout, One comment I would make is there's a lot of legislation happening in elections right now. So the timing of elections may change.
Oh, wait, I gave you mine. Not that one, the other one. I don't seem to have one.
Can you make some of this?
Can make copies of this one, but I can't.
Yeah, no, we should make them for audience.
The primary, there's a move afoot to move the primary earlier in the year, and that will change all the other things.
Because everybody else is getting ahead of us, right?
Yes, it's possible if the primary gets early enough, then they may change the special election dates. I don't think they will. They're carefully designed to allow a district to fail at one election and then go into the next election. Resolutions are due 60 days before a special election for the primary. For the primary, they do the last day of filing week, but again, that may change this year when filing week is, so that could change when that's due. And for the general, it's due on the primary date, but if the primary gets moved early in the year, my guess is that will actually stay in August and not move with the primary. So anyway, there's a lot of moving parts going on right now. Elections are expensive. The results for the April special election of the Orcas Hospital District and the San Juan School District, they paid $30,000 and $20,000 for those elections. Always cheaper to run it with the general. We also have a higher turnout if we run with the general. Then on the additional questions, I'll just comment on a couple of these. First of all, many of these are legal questions and you really are going to have to get legal advice. But the question, if the board passes a resolution for something in the future, I don't know. I've never heard of that. Basically, the answer is we will run anything you give us. Whether it's legal is not our concern. However, the prosecutor will review it. And he might say it's not legal. And of course, it can always be challenged later. I would say, however, you cannot change your mind later. That can be a problem. But maybe not. You ask about separate funds. If you have an EMS levy, those funds do have to be monitored separately and make sure that and you ensure that they are spent only on EMS services. And then there's a variety of ways to do that, which when we do the accounting for the district, we can certainly help you set that up. But as has been observed, fire levies can be used for EMS and you don't have to keep those separate.
Yeah, the hospital district currently has the EMS separate fund, right?
So, yes, complete. Well, we treat it like a separate district, even though it's not.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. So, but the fire district doesn't need to do that if they just do a lid lift instead of a separate EMS.
Because the hospital district used to be big, and now it's little. So, we already talked about conflicting measures. We already talked about. Well, yes, how to deal with liability. Oh, I don't know. That's a legal and risk question. Talked about the building. Legally, again, legal question, but we do know that it's pledged to the loan's pledged to it, so we have to worry about that. I assume that you guys have copies of Resolution 94-68, which is the measure, the ballot measure, which moved it from fire to hospital. Looked at that?
No.
We did. I think we did get that.
I do have a copy of that with me. I just brought a copy because I assumed it would happen. But anyway, the interesting thing about that is it took one vote, one measure to do all of it. It was very simple. They basically just, the levy was expiring. They adopted a levy in the hospital district. And so it was simple. Going the other direction to a smaller district is complicated. Plus you've got loans collateralized by the levy. And so it's a lot more complicated. And the last question, do you have any suggestions? Yeah, get a lawyer.
Okay, so much for the party. I guess we're going to spend the money on the lawyers.
If you have any questions about any of this, I would be happy to try to answer it.
George, I'm not sure you want your wife telling you that.
Yeah, well, you mean when my wife says get a lawyer, that's a problem? Is that what you're saying?
But I mean, I really appreciate the background work that you did on this. This is extremely helpful to us.
Welcome.
Yeah, this is really...
I have to say it's very organized because I have people, and my people did this. My wife got Cameron Armstrong's name at the top there.
Yes.
We both learned a lot in this research.
We may teach you some more later on.
I'll learn enough, thank you.
Come on.
We learn every time a district does something. Right now, Decatur's looking at forming a fire district, and
that should be interesting.
Shaw is looking at forming a park and rec district.
Wow.
We have more districts per capita than any other county.
It's a function of the geography. I don't think you have any choice sometimes, but each island needs its own district for everything.
I mean, that's shocking, the Park and Rec district. They only have 10 kids.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Anyway.
It's a Park and Rec island, all right.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So, Mylene, on the cost of the election,
yes.
I know that each one's different, but what is a ballpark? I mean, are they all roughly $50,000,
$60,000? Well,
because you split these costs, because you had the cost of the election.
That particular election was districts that were other, one election in Orcas and one election in San Juan, both involving the entire island. So their costs were very distinct. Each would have been a little bit higher without the other because they would have taken the overhead costs. But $20,000 to $30,000 is a ballpark for a special election. When you get into the general, you're looking at 5 or 10.
So the general election, you're spreading the cost over everything else.
Yeah, because it's a bigger election.
I guess what I'm asking is the cost to run an election roughly the same every time, and therefore when you have more.
No. Because their costs do vary. But there's a certain amount of fixed cost, but a lot of it's variable. I mean, the number of ballots we print is variable.
The number of different ballots you
print. If we run an election for a Shaw Park and Rec district, and that's the only thing on it, it's not going to be very costly because there's not very many people. I actually didn't keep a copy much for myself, but that spreadsheet shows. And by the way, in case anybody cares, there is an election, a bill in before the legislature this year called Fair Share of Funding, where they're trying to get the state to pay its share of election costs. It's not going to help the districts any. It will help the county. But there's another separate bill, and they could both pass, for prepaid postage. This past year, the Secretary of State and the Governor combined to provide for prepaid postage on ballots and return ballots. This year we didn't have to pay because it was paid for by the state. The proposal before the legislature now is for the state to continue to pay for it. If they do not, the county has decided we are going to continue to pay for it because it's a takeaway if you don't at this point. But when we say we're going to pay for it, that means the districts will each be paying.
You're going to end up eating postage as well as
the costs. And we would not allow you to opt out of that because it voted confusion. So that would be a good thing for you to support with your various trade groups.
Well, we've got a lot to digest here, which is great. Are there any additional questions that we want to raise? And I appreciate you both being available for continuing questions because every time we peel back a layer, we find another layer.
See, the fire district board?
Yeah. And it's been difficult to coherently lay out questions in a linear way, just because none of this has been linear.
There's four pieces of paper for me, the pretty one that's got the colors on it, that's the historical rates.
Right.
For EMS fire in the hospital all the way through. The colored blocks on the left, those are just 6-year increments for each of the EMS levels. It's interesting, the hospital had a 15-year lid lift, and you can see where it dropped off at the end, so they didn't renew that, but the voters didn't renew it. And the other sheets, the two that have the types of taxing districts are on those.
Hey, John,
yeah.
While you're on that,
yeah.
Can you explain the hospital EMS on why, 6 years in a row, it remained at 35 cents, even
yeah.
though everybody else's was going up because the values were going down?
Yeah.
That was how the original levy was structured, correct?
But, well, yes, although the assessed value was dropping then, so there was more room on both fire and the hospital in their what's called the statutory maximum rate. So there was more room for that levy rate to
grow. Oh, so that's the statutory maximum.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not what...
So the statutory was 35 cents?
Yeah. That's
okay.
Yeah, so the levy, the lid lift.
Oh, but property values are dropping.
Right, so they were
it
losing
would have
money.
Been,
it just kept
yeah, it would have been a higher rate
yeah.
than
they were losing money. That's
allowed.
Part of the budget
exactly.
thing they ran into.
Because sometimes you see, this happened with Orcas Park and Rec when they first formed. They wrote their resolution incorrectly, and they wrote it for a fixed levy rate instead of an amount.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. And that was when property values were dropping. And they lost big on
yeah.
that because it was a fixed rate.
Right, because,
so,
ouch.
You know, we've all learned to look for that more, but it's still
If you look at fire and
yeah,
hospital district, they're
went
going
up significantly.
They're,
yes.
You look at how much
yep.
they went up
no,
in the same period.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting. I should have included the dollar amount there. So even though it was 35 cents every year,
they were losing money.
The amount that they took was getting less.
Was
yeah.
smaller,
you know,
right.
I don't, and I would love to have one. Do you mind if I make some
comments? Say this out loud, but in 2011, you see 35.11. That exceeded the statutory maximum. And the Department of Revenue slapped our hand that year, but well, no, they looked back and they saw that in 2010 we underlevied. So they said it's essentially a wash.
It's a self-correcting.
What's interesting is how much it changed from 12 to 13. 2012 to 2013 was a big step. I mean, that's pretty huge. If you look at the levy rates going up on the other districts.
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't go up in the EMS because they couldn't.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But in order to keep their total levy the same,
yeah.
it had to jump up by what,
so,
you know,
okay.
almost 20 cents in the case of the fire district.
So one of the reasons for that is 2013 was the first year that we went to an annual across the board
right.
countywide.
Right.
And so there are Orcas values that were cut in half that year
mm-hmm.
because they it was 2008 assessed value
mm-hmm.
evaluation.
Okay.
Jim, thank you just for keeping your rates low
yeah,
for years.
That's exactly right.
So I have a question. You said when Park did theirs, when they wrote theirs,
right.
they made a mistake.
That's right.
So that implies to me there are people that don't make mistakes when they write theirs. Who writes these things, and how do you know that you're writing it correctly?
The district's attorney is responsible for writing it, or the district themselves. We get what you give us. It does go to the prosecutor, and sometimes they ask for the assessor for advice, but they won't have to. The prosecutor, I don't know who should have seen this, you know, maybe he could have caught it, but he's a prosecutor. He's not an assessor.
Yeah,
so mistakes happen, but basically the answer is the district is responsible for writing their own resolutions.
And there are people that.
Well, yeah, they call attorneys.
Yeah, it's your lawyer, whoever you're.
I would run any resolution for a levy by John.
But there are resolutions out there, template resolutions someplace that have actually.
MRSC.
Yeah, they're the best source for templates. It's a great website. And they have lawyers who will look at stuff sometimes too. Just run something by them. They don't even charge you. They're awesome.
Yeah, they are. They're really good. We use them all the time.
Yeah. Well, we're probably going to end up using them pretty soon here. Yeah. Closer.
So then the two sheets that talk about the taxing districts, those are straight out of the Department of Revenue levy manual, and it's just a summary. It lists the statutes that govern each one of the types of districts. There's some notes there. That's a really helpful reference sheet, I think. It should tell you a lot. The last sheet is just sort of it's a hypothetical. I think Norm did this for Nathan. The town's maximum, statutory maximum levy changes depending on how many other levies are affecting town residents. So if there's a library, it drops their statutory max from $3.60 down by the actual amount levied by the library, which was almost 43 cents. So they're dropped to 3.17. If there's a fire district, there's another 51 cents that comes off. And so their statutory max is $2.66 now with both the fire district and the library.
I thought the fire district didn't include the town.
This is a hypothetical.
We're just trying to understand the impact.
So the worry is, is there some kind of a long-term impact on the town's ability to levy funds? And we're so far away.
Well, what's not on here
is EMS.
Is EMS, which I'm surprised is not on here.
Well, the EMS doesn't affect their statutory max.
Oh, it doesn't?
It doesn't?
No. It's just...
Oh, so the fire district levy, if it went up 50 cents, would. But if the EMS levy was 50 cents separate, it would not. That's interesting.
Nobody's ever going to hit their statutory.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not a problem, because you still have $1.78 in this model. But, yeah. We're over a buck away, even with
Lidl. 50 cents. Yeah. Lidl. Yeah. Right.
Same deal with pro-rationing, right? We looked at that, and we were so far off from any rationing.
Right. Yeah. And I guess actually what you would do down the road is if the fire district was putting the hurt on town because they were bumping up against that maximum, they could pass an EMS levy.
Yeah.
Solve the problem.
Yeah. All right, so what did I leave out?
This is good stuff, John. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know you've got the
Did we address how to retire the EMS level?
Well, what John suggested, I think, makes sense.
Yeah.
Ask for zero.
Yeah. If there's no ask, they're allowed to take last year's money to the pay. So if they ask for zero, then that kills it the following year. And I guess George's remark on is zero, is that still a
levy, even if it's zero amount? Because the next year they could go up again to the...
But only about 1%.
If they have bank capacity, they would have to not ask the second year to kill it.
Okay.
Not asking.
But does that formally kill it, or does it just die of its own?
Well, no, you can no longer ask any amount. Exactly. It means you can no longer ask because you have no bank capacity either.
Yeah. There's only a couple of years left.
That would be kind of ridiculous, because by the time this all happens, there's only 2 years left on the levy anyway.
And then it would just...
It's not going to happen.
Just it statutorily dies.
It would die at the end of the six-year term regardless.
Right.
Yeah, so I did ask the department of revenue person that, and she said, oh boy, that's a legal question.
Yeah, I know. We're asking all these tough questions. That's what we like to do.
And she says, what would probably happen is if the fire district, the voters passed a fire district levy, then the other one, the hospital one, would probably, everyone would understand.
That it's gone because
they're not using that. And the only time a problem would develop is if the hospital district asked for one at the same time. She said if that conflict arose and there's a levy request from two authorities.
Right, that would be a problem. But yeah.
And you would want the hospital district to have passed a resolution already saying that they're not passing
they're not going to ask anymore.
Passed a resolution asking for a levy.
Yep. So actually, it wouldn't be hard for the hospital district to just pass a resolution because we're no longer going to ask any EMS money out of the levy. Yeah. And that would take care of it.
You don't. I guess one answer is that you don't have to formally do anything.
That's why I was asking. Is I just didn't know that there was a process to say we're no longer going to do this. I mean, dissolving a district is one thing. But this isn't a district,
right?
So, what?
George signed off on this. Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah, so I'm the district commissioner. Look at that.
Really. So Steve Brandt.
Yes, yeah. Steve Brandt was a commissioner. Forbes was the chairman or president.
Mm-hmm. And there were two levies back then. It says, currently provided by Fire District 3 in the town of Freddie Harbor, thereby replacing the current EMS levies of 40 cents per thousand.
So they were separate levies for the town and for the fire district.
That's
how they did it.
Yeah.
And they must have run coincident then, because they were continuation levies passed every 6 years or whatever.
This is excellent.
That's good to know.
What I was seeing.